Welcome everyone to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys podcast, episode 397. We're up to the sequel of the Nolan Batman franchise. We're up to the Dark Knight from 2008. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate. So how many times did you see this movie in the theater?
2008 was a crazy year. That summer was crazy because you had Iron Man come out first in like May. Also in May was, well, there were some flops that were I was excited about, like Speed Racer came out that summer as well. You had Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull that summer. And then in June, I think, or July, one of them, we had The Dark Knight. I saw July. Okay. I remember specifically going to the theater to see this on midnight that Thursday, sitting in a long line. I got there at like 10 p.m. I was in a long line because this was pre-reserve seats. So if you wanted a good seat, you had to go early and get in line. Got in line. Wait, I think I saw this three times because the first night I went regular like to just my close theater. The second, I saw it in IMAX. And the third time I saw it in IMAX. So I did two IMAX screenings after, but the first one was regular just because I just needed to see the movie. So three times at the theater back in, I was 21 when this came out. So I was like, I had nothing to do. I was young. I could stay up all night, go to midnight. I didn't care.
This is funny because this movie was one of the last that me and my wife did a midnight screening. Because remember, those were like popular. You go wait till midnight.
I used to go to all the time.
Yeah. So this was one of the last. The last one we did was the 007 Casino Royale was the last one. Because then that's when we had kids. We started to have kids. And I was like, nope, can't do this no more. But yeah, this was one of them. And I was like, wow. I was like, all right. I didn't see this multiple times. I saw this one time in the theater, and then I saw it multiple times on disc.
Came out on Blu-ray. If we're including disc, I've seen this a hell of a time. I've seen this so many times.
Yeah. So theater-wise, I've seen this like once, but I saw it like opening, crack of dawn opening. So yeah, it was a cool memory sitting down watching it with an entire group of people that like Batmans and, you know, people dressed like Jokers, but not the Heath Ledger Joker. Everyone was dressed like the Jack Nicholson purple suit Joker.
And the good thing with those screens was everyone was quiet because the people who went at midnight really wanted to watch the movie. You weren't getting all the teenagers who were kicking chairs. No, these were the diehards. So it was like a pin drop. I loved midnight screenings. It was the nerds. So they were silent. You didn't have to worry about talking. You didn't have to worry about cell phones. It was great.
Yeah, it's two ways of watching. It's out of everyone's quiet or you're falling asleep because it's midnight and you're tired.
That's true too. If you're tired, if you're a tired person, it may not be the best.
It's not the good way to do it, but a lot of people still did it and then they wouldn't sleep. So anyway, let's get to financials, okay?
Yeah.
Because this movie was the first Batman movie to ever grace $1 billion at the box office, okay? And this is what actually, this movie is the movie, and they could quote me if I'm wrong, is the movie that put Nolan in the map as the best director in the DC landscape of Batman movies.
I would absolutely say so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would absolutely say so.
Not in a way that they put him in the map, because he has a great filmography, but this is starting to put him in superstar A-list director.
Yes, right? I would say it did put him on the map, because if you look at his career to this point, Memento, which was a good but a small indie movie. Film,
yeah.
Insomnia was not a big box office hit. I think it made money, but like, you know, barely. Then you had Batman Begins. Like, oh, who is this guy, Nolan? Then he did, after that, he did The Prestige, which was very good and well-received and made money, but I would not say that was because then after this, he did Inception and like Dark Knight and Inception, I feel like is where those two movies combined put him into that stratosphere. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with that one. Okay, so look, budget-wise, $185 million. More money than the first film.
Yes.
And we always say, if it's double the first film, will it become a successful hit? Well, everyone sucked it up because this thing made $1.8 billion at the box office.
1.8?
Yep. $1,008,971,256.
Oh, okay. Okay. So 1.08.
I'm sorry. Okay, 1.08.
1.8 would have been almost 2 million.
Yeah, no, that's close to. No, I'm sorry. It's $1.08 million. Domestic was $534 million, which doubled the Batman Begins because it was at $300 million plus. around there. International, $473 million. And this is the first Batman movie that was filmed in China. So you got Batman in China. So that was a big deal at that time. Batman was in the skies of China.
Yeah.
So and they loved that.
Those scenes were shot with IMAX cameras, which was like, they're
amazing. That was another big thing that Nolan was the first. Well, I think he is the first film director to use IMAX cameras in his movies.
He was the first to, yeah, at this scale. Now, and you got to remember too, domestic, $534 million. At the time, it was the number two highest grossing movie in the history of movies. It was only behind Titanic, which made 600 and something.
Plus, yeah.
Now, since then, Dark Knight has moved to 19th, which means in the last 15 years, a bunch of movies have made 600 million plus, which is interesting. It's the fact that it's still in the top 20. And now, you know, movie ticket prices, that's not adjusted for inflation either. That's just, it made $534 of $2008 dollars. So this was a phenomenon when it came out. It was like, well, this movie just keeps making money. And then, you know, the very next year, Avatar came out, which blew it out of the water. But
oh, yeah.
That was 2009. But yeah, it's it was a smash. A smash hit. I guess we could call it that.
It's, it's the monster mash of So, you know, Batman, I mean, we can say whatever we want. Batman sends the trend for movies at this point. IMAX and Batman works very well together.
Absolutely.
Very well. And I think this is the first 4K disc that allowed you to have IMAX and regular camera scenes in one, switching between the two, wasn't it? This was the first.
This was because I know after this, Transformers 2 did it as well.
Yeah.
But
because none of the Disneys have it except for Guardians Volume 2, I believe.
Most of us still don't do that now. Three. Yeah. The Blu-ray of Dark Knight did this. So this was like early of the switching aspect ratios.
That's what it is.
Switching on your home. Yeah, on your home disc. I mean, the 4K looks incredible. Those IMAX scenes look incredible, even still. Yeah. They're stunning. But I remember the Blu-ray did it, and I was like, what is this? And, you know, when you're seeing it at the theater, it did that at the theater as well. So then I'm like, oh my God, this like recreated it. And you're right. Most of the, like on Disney Plus, those movies do it. But on home video, there's not many, even still, that do that. Which is
it's funny because, like, I mean, everyone could crap on the DC movies. DC is the only, Warner Brothers is the only company with their superhero movies that allowed the aspect ratios to be in their 4Ks. Wonder Woman is another movie that has the aspect ratio switching on and off. And I think there's other ones too. But anyway, financially, smash hit. Yeah. Now, with the critics and audience, is it another smash hit?
Yes, smash hit as well.
You sound like Mr. Miyagi.
Audience score is exactly the same as the Batman Begins, which is a 94%, was already high. However, the critics have caught up as well. They're also at a 94%. So that's a plus 9. Batman Begins was at an 85. This one is at a 94. So a double 94. One of the best reviewed comic book films ever. I mean, it's like one of the most box office, one of the best reviewed. This won an Oscar. It was nominated for other Oscars. This is like the godfather of comic book movies. Honestly, if you're going to make a comparison, it's like the Godfather. And I'm not saying it's everyone's favorite or people might like other ones more. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying as far as prestige, this is like the godfather of comic book.
I agree. I agree in that sense. It's up there. This has to be in everyone's top five movies. At least it doesn't have to be number one. I'm just saying it's going to be top five.
I kid you not. I sent a text message in a group text last night. And because one of my friends made a comment about Dark Knight years ago. And every time I watch it, it makes me laugh. So I put it in the group text. And one of my other friends who's younger than me, like significantly, like at least 10 years younger or so, said, top five movie of all time when I said I was watching Dark Knight. So you're right. Like, and between generations, because when this came out, he would have been like a little kid. You know what I mean? So you're right. I do think most people, if you're like comic book movie or regular, like just top five movies, I'm not surprised anytime someone says Dark Knight. It's pretty common.
Yeah. I have friends that this is their number one. So,
interesting. All
right. With that said, let's get into this review. All right. Christian Bale's back. Lead character. Bale's back as Batman/Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
We got Harvey Dent now in this film. So he's going to be a little bit because he is good in this movie for the first half. And then he becomes Two-Face throughout. So it's like origin. We got Jim Gordon back. Now, Katie Holmes is not returning as Rachel Doss. Now we have Jake Gyllenhaal's sister, Maggie Gyllenhaal. I think that's her real name. She's now replacing Katie Holmes' character, Rachel Doss. So, Nate, take it away. What do you think?
All right, I'll run through these quick. Maggie Gyllenhaal, we'll just start at the last one. Maggie Gyllenhaal, acting upgrade over Katie Holmes. If you're just talking about acting wise. Yeah, well, she is. She's a better actress than Katie Holmes. I mean, let's look at what they've done in their careers. What did Katie Holmes? Dawson Creek, Batman Begins, and a bunch of movies you've never seen. So, you know, it's like, you know, Maggie Gyllenhaal, a little bit better. Rachel Dawes, love the arc here. Tragic. I give them credit for doing what they did with that character because that was bold at the time. And I love, not only is it tragic that she gets absolutely obliterated by bombs, but the thing with the letter, I was like, damn, she was like, it was. And then Alfred burns it. I was like, oh, damn, that was really good. Love that. Harvey Dent as a good guy. I like Aaron Eckhart in this movie. He's another one who's like an actor. He was in I Frankenstein, an action movie guy's classic, I Frankenstein.
Yes.
He's another actor who's like, he was in this and then he never really like, he didn't keep doing big sort of prestigious movies. He just sort of started doing like garbage. Honestly, he's done a lot of garbage movies since this movie, which is weird to me, but I liked Harvey Dent in this movie. He's working with Batman and Commissioner Gordon. They have a sort of, and then Bruce Wayne and him, they're kind of contentious, but you know, but Bruce knows he's the guy that's going to kind of take crime out legally without having to be a costume. I like all that. And I thought Aaron Eckhart was really good as Harvey Dent. Commissioner Gordon, finally, he gets upgraded to Commissioner. And we talked about it in the first movie. It's even better here. The dynamic between him, like he fakes his own death and all this kind of stuff. And I loved it. Bruce Wayne. All right. I gave him a 5 in the first movie. I gave him a 5 in this movie. Listen, one thing you can't argue about the Nolan trilogy is that there is a very distinct character arc between the three movies. He is not the same guy in Batman Begins that he is in The Dark Knight, and he won't be the same guy in The Dark Knight Rises that he is in The Dark Knight, right? So I love it. There's the in this movie, he's already been Batman now for a couple years. He's trying to retire already. Like, he's only been Batman for a few years. He wants his girl. He wants someone else to do, you know, like, do this. Harvey Dent. A lot of tragedy in this movie with Harvey Dent, with Rachel Dawes. It's almost with Commissioner Gordon. You know, like, he takes a beating in this movie, and by the end of the movie, he's a friggin' fugitive, like, on the run, taking the blame for Harvey Dent's, you know, kind of demise here. So I thought it was a great, I will agree, you know, because I know the thing with the Batman voice. I don't have a problem with it in Batman Begins. I don't like it as much in this movie in certain scenes. I think it's okay at certain parts, but there's certain parts where he like really leans into it, especially like when he's talking to Joker at the end when Joker's hanging upside down. And he's trying, I think he was trying to like sound out of breath because of the fight and also do it. So it just sounds really weird like this. And I'm like, I don't love that. But the rest of Bale's performance, I think, is great in this movie. And yeah, I think I give him a 5 again. One of the greatest characters of all time. It's like Bruce Wayne is just an incredible character.
Yeah, yeah. All right, I'll go down the same route as you. Maggie Gyllenhaal as Rachel Dawes. I did agree. I think she was way better than Katie Holmes. But then again, I can't just go, because I don't know what Katie Holmes would do in this movie. Maybe she would have been really, really good, right? Because she had more act. She had more of a role in this one than the first one. The first one, she was a kid, so it was played by someone else. And she was not in the whole movie as much as in this one. She's almost in the whole 2 hours and 30-something minutes. So I'm not going to criticize Katie Holmes because I really don't know. So, but I will say is, I agree with you 100%. Acting-wise, Maggie Gyllenhaal, way better. So that was pretty cool. And I think for me, it's just, I'm very ADD or whatever it is called, like continuous type of person. Like if you have the actor in the first movie, I would like to see them in the second, regardless if they're good or bad, because we grew up with Katie Holmes now as Batman Begins, her adult version of her. I wanted to see, because then I would have played better. She saw, you know, Christian Bale and everything. But anyway, that's just me. But anyway, I liked her character. I thought she was really good. Really Shakespearean type of death scene. If you really look at it, she had two loves, right? But she knows she can't be with Bruce, whereas she could be with Harvey. And she chose Harvey over Bruce, knowing his dark side. And like she said in the letter, you know, you're always going to be Batman. Like, regardless if you're not, you're always going to be that type of character, you know? But Alfred, I don't know if Alfred did the right thing. He made pretty much rip that letter, making Bruce think that she was picking him. Like, that was kind of messed up.
He was already kind of devastated, though. To give him that letter, it would have been like, the guy would have committed suicide or something. he shouldn't have maybe not burned it, but I'm glad he took it away. Because Bruce would have jumped out the window right then. He would have just been like, forget it.
Alfred, she was waiting for me. And he was like, yeah, let me take this letter.
He's like, what's that? Don't worry about it.
He was like, let's think about this. Have your orange juice, sir.
Yeah. And but I love that, not to get ahead, but in the next movie, they show the payoff of that. Like, there's, you know, which I like. Nolan remembered. It's like, oh, remember that letter that he burned? It's going to come back. But yeah, I agree. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So it's very historic there. Jim Gordon. Oh, I love Gary Oldman as Commissioner Gordon. I wish he was like a character that continued to play him throughout all the movies, because he looks just like him in the comics. Like, it's just creepy. Like, he got older. They put the makeup on a little bit older. My only gripe is that I wish he did workout. Like, he looked more beefy like he does in the comic. But other than that, he looks just like him. I love the way he talks. It fits this world perfectly. Oh, Harvey Dent. I agree with you in terms of this actor, Eckhart, I think his name. Aaron Eckhart. I like him in certain movies. Like, he's an actor that he's like a hit or miss. Like, he'll have a great movie role. Like, you're like, wow, he could win an Oscar. And then he goes, why the hell did he pick this shit? Like, he's just so horrible in this movie. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he's just a tale of two. He's like Two-Face. He's
like a real life Two-Face.
Yeah. He's a good actor, but then he's a shitty actor at the same time. Mm-hmm. He's a flip of a coin. I liked him as Harvey Dent. Man, Nolan knows how to pick these characters, because he knocked it out the park. And my favorite scene of his is when he's like, you want the Batman? I'm Batman. Take me in. And I was like, oh, my man Bruce let this dude go down. Loved it. I thought that was really cool. Even that scene with Rachel Dawes and Alfred. He's like, why is he letting him? Why is he being a coward? And he's like, nope. Only Bruce and him knows, you know, what they're doing. It's the right for the kid, whatever. And I was like, wow. It's really told very well. Like, the script is very well written in that sense. Now, Bruce Wayne. This is where I'm going to have a little gripe. I agree with you. Christian Bale is an excellent Bruce Wayne. I love him. The party scene was dope when Joker crashes and he's walking mad hardcore to the Batcave or his other cave. Yeah. And they're having sex in the things. Like, he punches the guy. He breaks the shotgun up. She's like, oh, cool. A panic room. And he said, nope. Not for you. He said, nope. He let them stay there. I like that a lot. I thought that was really cool. Bruce Wayne, and the thing about this movie that I love, like I said, 2 hours and 32 minutes film, it was split between Bruce and Batman. And it was done very well, where we felt more for Bruce because he now, Rachel Dawes is getting killed. And that scene was setting up some emotions for the audience very well. Because it's like, who's he going to go for? And the Joker just switched it up on him. And I was like, whoa. Then you have the Batman scenes. I still don't like him as Batman. And this movie, and it sucks because I think this movie is the best movie out of the three. And my problem is his portrayal as Batman in this movie. His voice is annoying. All his scenes, like, I wish Nolan went back and said, you know what, let's just put a voice modulator in on him. And it worked. Because the scene, like I said it again, and I always tell people, if Ben Affleck was Batman in this movie, the scene between him and Heath Ledger in the interrogation room would have been one of the greatest scenes between two actors we ever would have got it. Because he doesn't have to force and yell, because it is all coming out of modulation. So it's that would have been portrayed. That scene, tell me where he is! And he's just like laughing, and I'm like, oh my God, this is just so... You start laughing. I don't know if you laugh during those scenes. Like, his voice is this...
I've just comical. Seen it so many times. I don't like. It's like, I already know. I'm used to it. It's like, it's fine.
Yeah.
But I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I was just saying, man, I just wish Nolan went back and said, you know, this is not going to, like, people are going to laugh and make fun of this guy. Because everyone does make fun of the Christian Bale Batman voice. It's not like they don't. And I'm not saying Christian Bale is horrible. I'm just saying that voice thing just
it became takes a meme, you out. For sure.
Yeah. So, like, it hurt me there. And I'm not going to take it away the point. Because, I mean, I could. And be like, oh, this is why. I'm giving him a 5. That's
a choice more than a character choice.
Yeah. So, and I'm not taking him away because the director is the one who says yes or no to those things. So, right. If he decided not to give him a voice modulator, whereas Zack Snyder did, and it worked very well on that because we could hurt, we, you know, you could hear the difference between these two characters. So I was like, okay, whatever. I give him a 5. I thought he was really good. And but that scene, bro, at the, in the beginning with Scarecrow, what makes you difference between both? He's like, I'm not wearing hockey pants.
Not wearing hockey pants. And he goes into the car.
Yeah. Oh, and my man, oh, I didn't even talk about my man, Morgan Freeman, Lucius Fox. Oh, I love this dude, bro. He is so good. Yes. Mini role, but important to the story. And that's what I love about it.
He tells the guy, you think your boss is a vigilante who punches criminals in the face all night? And your idea is to blackmail this man? And the guy's just like, he's like, good luck. He's like, you take those blueprints. Okay, you can keep these. And then he leaves. I love that scene.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, that's really good. Everybody's just set up so well. Everyone's okay, 5 across the board. All right. Main villain. Now, Joker, which is played by Heath Ledger, the late Heath Ledger.
Yes.
And now you have Aaron Eckhart as Two-Face.
All right, we'll start with Two-Face because he's the secondary villain. Comes into the picture as Two-Face pretty late, like third act mostly. Yeah. But you know what? I'm going to be honest, Alex. I still think it works. As having him not be two villains the whole movie, introducing him, he really kind of wreaks havoc in a short amount of time in this movie. Like he kills the cop, the dirty cop guy. What's his name? It's Wirtz. He kills him in the bar. He starts flipping that coin. He's like, if it lands on you, you die. If it lands on heads, I'll. And he follows it. He lets Maroney live right in the car, but then he shoots his driver. Huh?
Ramirez?
No, Maroney. Eric Roberts.
Oh, yeah. No, he did that one, too. And then the girl.
Yeah. He lets Eric Roberts live, but then he shoots the driver. Yeah. He's like, I don't know about this guy. He's like, what guy? He puts on the seatbelt and he shoots him. Yeah, Ramirez. Like, my man was really going around. And for him, it's almost like revenge. You know what I mean? Because of Rachel. And I like that. I like that they didn't make him a criminal boss. He's introduced. Joker sort of gets to him. Flips him at the end and he's on a side quest of terror. You know what I mean? And I liked it. I wouldn't say I could have seen him be a villain in a whole movie. And I think Eckhart would have done great, honestly.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
he would have done great. The look, you know, a lot of people don't like the look. I get it because he went a little more realistic. There's still comic book stuff in this. Don't get me wrong. Like the sonar stuff. There's plenty of comic book stuff, but it's a little more reality based. So he just looks like burned. I think the effect is gnarly. Like it still holds up. It looks really gross.
The CG. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks really gross. I'm okay with it. I don't think it's like the greatest, but better than Tommy Lee Jones' purple rubber face from Batman Forever. Like if the alternative is rubber, this is better than that. So cool. Heath Ledger. This is, I think you would agree with me. And again, if you're someone who's seen this movie and maybe you don't love it or you've never seen it or whatever, this is up in the pantheon of like greatest villain performances for most people. If you're just kind of polling general audiences who have seen this movie, it's iconic. It is iconic. I think a lot of it is because he passed away after like this is his last role. When that happens, when someone dies after a movie, a lot of times that movie automatically or that role automatically kind of gets elevated.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's also a great performance. You remember when Heath Ledger got casted, everybody was like, Heath Ledger, How to Lose a Guy in 10, no, 10 Things I Hate About You, A Knight's Tale, this guy's going to be the Joker. And he nails it. He won an Oscar posthumously for this role. Would he have won if he was alive? I don't know. What did he deserve to be nominated? 100% yes. I thought he was absolutely great in this movie. This version of Joker is just crazy. And he gives you a lot of dialogue to let you know like his thought process. You know, it's like, I'm a dog chasing cars. I don't even know what to do if I catch one. I don't even know, like I'm just doing stuff. You know what I mean? He causes a lot of havoc. He kills people. He kills Gamble in that one scene. I love that scene, by the way, because then he makes those guys fight with just the one little pool cue. He's like, make it quick. You know, one of y'all is going to live and then you could work for me. I love the scene with that Russian guy with the dogs. He's like, how many feed you to your pooches? And then we're gonna, you know, the way he talks and everything. Oh man, I love it. I don't care. 5 out of 5. 5 out of 5 for both. Like if I'm factoring in Two-Face or not, 5 out of 5.
My only, so we're doing two. So Two-Face, love Two-Face. Oh, I agree with you. When he's going around killing people, and I love how he's switching between the two. And I love the way he uses the camera, because one side he see the face, he's like all normal, and then they show the burnt. And I was like, wow, that's actually really, really dope. I do like when he's flipping coin. I thought it was good. My only gripe, honestly, I really wanted him to live. I didn't want him to die, because yeah. I felt like all these Batman movies, they always kill the great characters. Right? Jack Nicholson died as Joker. Why? Why did they decide to kill him? That didn't work out well, right? They could have used him in another reality. But they didn't need to kill Two-Face. I was like, that kind of sucks. Like, I don't know. To me, I was just kind of disappointed, because it would have been so... Technically, they could have survived. He could have survived the fall, right? Because then he could have used him in part three if they wanted to, instead of Bane. We really don't know how they did it.
Story-wise, he had to die for Batman to become...
the villain, yeah.
Yes. Joker lived, yeah. And he was supposed to come back if Heath Ledger didn't die. So he let one of them live.
He maybe flipped the wrong coin.
Yeah, if you're just thinking acting-wise, it would have been better, because Two-Face could have returned, because Aaron Eckhart, you know, didn't pass away, tragically.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you could have... Yeah, there's so much ways you could have did it as a writer. But yeah, I agree. I was just bummed out with that, but man, I love this performance. And I loved he was using the Rachel's death grievance as his main source of rage. And I was like, oh man. I was like, and I love when he took the guy's drink and he went whoop and he saw the thing come out of his side of the face. I loved it. I was like, that is so dope. Yeah, I was like, that is so cool. Yeah, you're right. And then the coin, I love that the coins reminded him of her, because he gave her the coin at the end. So I thought that was really cool. Heath Ledger Joker. So there's 20,000 variations of this Joker character. Whether you think the Jack Nicholson one is the perfect one, whether you think Cesar Romero's Joker is one of the best performances. I think every generation will have their best version of characters, right? Like, you got the Christian Bale's 2000 Batmans compared to the Zack Snyder's 2010s on up, right? Justice League and all that stuff.
And then Michael Keaton of the 90s.
Michael Keaton 90s. Yeah. Val Kimmler 90s. George Clooney, not so much, but he's there.
No one's favorite Batman is
Joker. No, it's not.
No one.
And then you got Robert Pattinson, right?
He's Batman. The 2020s
version. So you're always going to have a generational version of a character that you might enjoy, you might not enjoy. I enjoyed Heath Ledger as Joker because he was the psychotic Joker. As I'm a fan of the comical Joker, like the Cesar Romero 66 version, and I love the Jack Nicholson clowning around. That's just me. I just love laughing at the character because he's just sick, but I just love the laughing. Like Heath Ledger just bridged the gap between that character and a psychopath. And I thought it worked. I think Nolan hit it out of the park. And I love the scene. He goes, can I show you guys a magic trick? He put the pencil on the table. And he goes, I'm going to make this pencil disappear. Ta-da! It disappeared. Thought that was funny. But then you saw the psychotic part, right? Whereas the first half of the movie, he wanted to show take off your mask Batman, right? If not, people will die. Batman didn't do it, so he killed 5 people. But then towards the ending, he's like, if this guy reveals Batman, he goes, this is not going to happen. Give out whatever if you could kill this guy.
He offers $1 million to kill that guy so he doesn't know who Batman is.
You could see it in a way that like Joker realized that at that point. It's like, wait, I need this guy. We're the yin and the yang. And I kind of liked it. I thought Nolan did a great job with the character. And I think Heath Ledger knocked it out the park. Sadly, he died. And this is where I would agree with you. I don't know what would happen looking into the future. Would The Dark Knight Rises be one of those greatest sequels if the Joker was still in that movie and Bane is his second part? Because, I mean, I know there's certain stories that he is a mastermind type character, but we all know what happens in that movie. That's more Joker. We're going to watch it. I haven't seen it in a while. But from what I remember, I was like, I felt that was a more of a Joker story with the chaos that's erupting in Gotham more than Bane. But I mean, it is what it is. I gave it a 5. I thought he was fantastic in the role. Okay, action scenes.
All right, well, the action here is better. There's more action in this one than in Batman Begins. It's more of the same, though, as far as like the style of it. It's a little different. Like you remember you had that complaint about the shipping dock scene where you can't even see what happens. At least here it's wide when he's fighting, but they're short fights, right? And he's very martial arts in this movie, which is good as far as boom, pose, hit, doom, cool, fine. There's the best scene in this whole movie is the transfer scene where they're moving Harvey Dent, the car scene, which is all shot in IMAX, by the way, looks amazing. The sound design in that scene is there's no music. It's just cars and people yelling and gunfire. The little handgun machine gun thing that Joker has is awesome. He's like shooting the armored truck and you can see the little bullets hitting it. So it needs something bigger than that. And then all of a sudden he has a rocket launcher. Love it. That is a funny. That's where they factored in the humor a little bit with Joker, whereas he's not going around clowning around like crazy, stuff like that. Or the S where it puts slaughter is the best medicine instead of laughter is the best medicine. I like that. But that scene is great. It's a great just kind of chase scene. I love when the Batmobile turns into the Batpod. I remember people in the theater going nuts. When he rolls out, everybody screaming. I remember distinctly. And when he drives up the wall, I nearly lost my mind. That those are the kind of things where it's like, okay, this motorcycle is going right at this wall really fast. And he goes and spins around. Like, that's a very Batman cool moment. That, and when he's turning sideways and the tires roll,
yeah,
like that. Pop, 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 pop. And Nolan, those are the kind of things where it's like, dang, that's kind of sick. Who thinks of that? So that's the best scene. All that said, I gave it a 4. It's still not a 5. This is not the action extravaganza Batman film, but there's more than Begins. And I think Rises, I mean, not to get ahead, but I think that one has the most action out of all of them. So I gave this one a 4 because it's so well executed, but there's not just absolute insanity, incredible amounts of action.
Yeah, I agree. I gave it a 4 too. I wasn't too crazy with this one. Beginning fight between the Scarecrow thugs and all that. He was doing more hand-to-hand, which I was like, all right. Again, I said this before, and I'm going to keep saying it. Nolan's suit is not action. It's just not. In terms of these Batman movies, it's not action. His storytelling is way 100% more better than what he does action. The Tumblr scene in Chicago, I thought was great. And I can't believe some of the scenes were shot with toys. That freaked me out. The scene under, I was like, wait a minute, this is an IMAX shot with a remote control car. Like, and then he looks like it's actually, that is great camera work. Cause I did not even, I saw the stupid making and I was like, what? I was like, this is a little toy, like flying through the stuff. I was like, that's crazy. You're right. The Batpod, I thought it's a cool design. Not my favorite bat vehicle, but I thought it was really cool when it started because it was like the car shaking and the guy's like, what is going on here? And it's like eject and he pulls it. Yeah. I liked it. I thought it was pretty unique. It looked more better than like in the other movies where he hits like two switches and like the thing blows out and then just becomes like super small or some weird chaos thing happens. But yeah, I like that whole thing. I thought that was pretty cool. That's where Commissioner Gordon comes out and shows that he's alive. Yeah. Say, we got you, you son of a bitch. He was like, clack, clack.
Yeah, it's great. I love that part.
Yeah, I love what Joker said too. He was just like, no. He was like, I almost had him. He's like, not right now.
He's like, give me another minute.
Yeah.
I also like when the guy gets electrocuted when he goes to take off the mask and then Joker goes, woo, woo. He starts going crazy.
But he got electrocuted. Yeah, I give it a 4 because there's not much, but you didn't allude to it, but I thought this was good. The scene that he saves the people in the building with the night vision, that he's like, they were the good guys were in the, was it the hostages were in the costumes.
He made the hostages into the clown costumes and then the doctors that were supposed to be kidnapped doctors, they were actually the bad guys.
I thought that whole setup was dope. With the vision, and I thought he did very well. And then the IMAX
cameras again on that scene. It looks amazing, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and then the scene in China that he takes the guy. That was a really well scene. And the scene that he's on top of the buildings and the cameras are rotating around him, I thought it looked really well.
Yes.
When he's like on top of China, I was like, this is really, like, really thought out very well. So anyway, I gave it a 4 there. Okay, storyline.
Oh, easy 5. This is the easiest 5 out of all of them because everything you've alluded to already, you've mentioned that Nolan's storytelling is his, as a director, actually, he's a great director, period. When you're making action, yeah, I wouldn't say action are his strongest skill set. However, telling a story in general, getting these performances out of all these great actors. By the way, his movies are always fantastically casted. Like every role down to the freaking Anthony Michael Hall playing a reporter in this movie. You know what I mean? Like he gets the right guys, but the story here is so good. This is a Batman story. This is a Bruce Wayne story. You know, like they both have a lot going on. Joker is just an agent of chaos here. The Two-Face stuff. He's stuffed a lot. Yeah, the movie's 2.5 hours, but I've seen 2.5 hour movies that do less with their runtime than this movie. There's a lot and it never feels, to me, it never feels overstuffed. It feels like everything is where it's supposed to be. Introducing Two-Face at the end works. having him be Harvey Dent for 2/3 works. Everything about it, I think, is great. You know, the whole thing with Joker not wanting to reveal, having the cops have people in the hospital, so now they're worried about certain cops, you know, giving away stuff. Everything was so thought out. And this is the movie that I thought the first one. This one, his brother was one of the screenwriters as well.
Yes.
So Christopher and Jonathan Nolan wrote the script and then he directed it, of course. So I think the storyline's perfect. There's nothing I could think of to change. And we didn't even mention the opening bank heist scene. One of the best. Overall, like, just heist scenes, this guy shoots each one shoots the guy to get rid of him, you know? And yeah, I think it's great. I gave it a 5.
Yeah, I gave it a 5 too. There is no loopholes in this movie at all. It was entertaining, felt kind of long in certain parts, but I mean, that's just typical Nolan movies. But I think character development was all over the place. Even characters that are there for 2 seconds was important to the story somewhere, somehow, whether it's Lucius Fox doing his stuff in Wayne Tower, coming up with some new gadgets for him, which I thought that was really dope when he was like, can you fix my bat suit? And he was like, I'll come up with something. And I was like, that is like, that's it. That's all you need to do, is like minimal talking will impact throughout. And then there's another scene that he comes up and he goes, all right, so this is what's going to happen. This is your upgrades to your suits. And I was like, it reminded me of Q from 007. Yeah. Like, he goes and he gets his stuff. And then he was like, oh, let me show you what this cell phone could do. He's like, it's like sonar. And I liked it. I thought that was pretty cool. But then I also loved how he told Mr. Wayne, like, you're changing this. You're using this to go through people's privacy, and, you know, I'm going to consider this my resignation, not knowing that Bruce is not going to keep this. He's going to destroy it because he feels the same way.
Now he don't have to resign since he blew it up at the end.
That's true.
He's like, hey, type in your name. See what happens.
See how stupid you are. But anyway, yeah, I thought that was really good. Alfred was really good. Minimal role in this one more, but still another impactful role throughout this film. Commissioner Gordon, everything went so well. You know, even the deaths of all the judges, right? That was a whole buildup. Like that, everything was so thought out, Christopher Nolan did, that it worked very well. So kudos to him. 5 there. Okay, overall.
That's a 5 for me. I think this is a great movie. Again, I call it the godfather of comic book movies. I 100% stick by that. I think it's large scale while still being character driven, while having great writing, great performances, a great cast. We didn't even mention, too, I love that, you know, his house blew up in the first movie, so now he lives in a penthouse, a big penthouse apartment.
Oh, yeah.
And his new Batcave is like under this underground white room with, like, I love it. I think it looks so cool. So, yeah, I think they thought of everything. Like you said, there's no loopholes here. Like, everything that happened in the first movie matters in this movie, and everything that happens in this movie will matter in the next one, and it will all fit. Like, it makes sense. Characters, the way they function, everything makes sense. So I gave it a 5 out of 5. I really have no problem. I mean, we gave the action a lower score, but does that make the movie worse? No, not as a movie. Maybe as an action movie a little bit, but I think it's perfection.
Yeah, overall, I give it a 5. Whatever problems I have with the movie is not story, is just nitpicks here and there. So yeah, to me, it didn't do much. I liked the movie a lot. I thought it was really good and still holds up. So yeah, kudos to Nolan in that. So yeah, I gave it a 5. You gave it a 5. Total points, I assume it's 24 across the board.
That's what we got. 24 out of a... I thought this was going to be a 25, but then I rewatched it and I was like, I can't give this action a 5. Even though it's great, it's just not enough. If there was like one more big set piece, maybe, but alas, 24.
Right, Nate, what's coming up next on the
podcast? Okay, next up, new month. It is October now, literally the 1st of October as we record this. So it's a new month. It's War Films Month. Now, these are going to be action movies that are set in some sort of war scenario, be it a real or a fake one. And the first one up is a 2001 movie called Behind Enemy Lines. So we're going to be reviewing that. And then next week, hey, it's nice to do a short series because we're to the end of the Nolan trilogy with The Dark Knight Rises. And spoiler alert on this one, now, I have not watched it in a while, but I was always one of the rare people who I like that movie better than Batman Begins. So we'll see if it holds up as well. I don't know, but I remember I love that movie and I've gotten in many conversations. So we'll see. I don't know. You know, we've discovered on this show, things change. And sometimes they don't. It just depends. So we have Dark Knight Rises To wrap that one.
All right. So there you guys have it. You guys want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything AMG podcast, you guys could go to youtube.com/actionmovieguys. Listen to the podcast there while you're working or you're working out. And of course, you guys can leave some comments down below, or you could take us on the go with the Action Movie Guys podcast, available on all podcast platforms. Other than that, oh, and then we have the Geeks and Flicks TikTok account, where we do exclusive 1 minute mini reviews for you guys. That is Geeks, the letter N, Flicks on TikTok. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Nate Flicks Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.